But I want us to go to Ruth chapter number 3, or excuse me, Ruth chapter number 2, and verse number 3. Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I'm interested in that word hap. It's an old English word for happenings. But it depends upon where you're coming from as to how you would see that word and understand it. For some, they would say her luck was to light upon the field belonging unto Boaz. For others, they would say it was her fortune to light. That's what that word means to a lot of people. Even in some weird ideologies, they would say her karma was to light upon the field, or her chance. But you and I who know the book of Ruth and where it lies in the Bible, who know the Lord and what He's done in our own personal lives, we know it wasn't karma. We know it wasn't chance. We know it wasn't fortune. And certainly was not luck. God Almighty set this up. It is a providential word. And while you'll not find the word providence, which simply means the foreseeing care and guidance of God, omnisciently directing in the affairs of men. And while you'll not find the word providence, you'll find the providence of God everywhere. And the best illustration of that word providence that I have found that seems to describe it best is this. It is the hand of God working in the glove of humanity. It is the unseen hand of God working in the norm of life so that you cannot see it, but it is working there. Understand that unseen hand of God working in the glove of humanity throughout all time. But I like to make it even more personal. I'd like to say that it is the hand of God working in the glove of your own personal life when you don't even know what He's bringing to pass to get you to your hap. And He has brought her to her hap. And understand that all eternity weighed upon this one hap. Everything that God had ever done up to this point was for the sake of this hap, the providence. And everything that, let me say it this way, everything that God had ever done and everything that God would ever do intersected at this one place, at this little hill, where nobody on earth even understood what it was all about. She didn't know why she was there. She was going to go find a field in which she could find grace, but she didn't know which field. No indication that her mama told her which field to go into because her mother-in-law was thrilled when she found out. She didn't even know. The man that owned the field was surprised when she showed up. He didn't know who she was. But I'll tell you, somebody did know. God in His providence. And we can't figure all of that out. I don't think she ever had it figured out. Not when it took place. She didn't know at that point in time even why she was going to go into this field when there were a lot of fields she could have went into. I don't know why, but God does. He has ways of which He accomplishes His providential plan and purposes in our life. It could have been, if we was to interview her and say, "Hey, Ruth, wow, you hit the nail on the head when you went into that field. Everything depended on that. How did you know to go into that field?" She said, "I didn't." "Well, what made you do it?" "Well, I smelled the honeysuckle. It's a lot of honeysuckle in there. I smelled that and I just said, man, that probably smells good. I think I'll go in there." Might have been that simple. Or she might have said, "Well, you know, I heard the singing. The workers down there seem to be pleasant and happy, and I figured, well, they won't run me out. They'll let me in. I'll take that field." There was probably no common sense reason, and I don't know if she ever could have given a reason, but God wooed her into that place. And can I say to you that the bulk of our lives happen in this matter of a hap, in which we find ourselves in places in which we do not know until afterwards that God did that. Amen. Man, how I got to that little old alley between 46th and 47th Street, Clark and Train, where I got saved, is a story within itself. But I couldn't have told you that day walking down that alley what I was doing there. Basketball under my arm, coming from the school. And God, my hat. God, my hat. God's hand in the glove of my life. And I didn't even know it. She didn't even know it. Eternity. I mean, everything God had ever done and ever would do, met right there in that hat in her life. But you see, providence happening in her life and providence happening in your life happens because God wants to make a difference. And everywhere His hat takes place, everywhere His hand works, it will make a difference in our lives. And it will make a difference in other people's lives. It'll make a difference in time and for eternity. But it's just an everyday seeming happening. That you should live on the same street as this man does so he could stop and then... Well, you didn't think about that when you moved in. You never saw anything happening. But God... Now, why in the world? Did you move into that house because you thought there's a guy, a preacher down the road, he'll come by and invite me to church and it'd be good for me to live here? No. Because you didn't know that. But honey, that was not luck, nor was that chance. That was providence. God's purpose and plan being fulfilled in your life, having you at the right place at the right time. Only God could do that. Just one little old word right there makes the difference in everything from Genesis to Revelation and time and eternity. Her hat! I'm glad I got a hap, and if you ever find out you got a hap, it'll make you happy. It It'll thrill you to know that God is interested in you. Now, where I'm sort of mixed up at is how far to go. And I know I got liberty here to preach all night. Matter of fact, y'all get mad if you don't preach over an hour. Cut his pay. He ain't preaching long enough. But what I want to do tonight is just sort of go back through the scriptures and look at this hand of God in so many lives. And then we'll come back and bump back into this scripture and kind of cap it off. But probably tomorrow night we'll just preach that providential work in Ruth's life. But I want you to see it in a panoramic view, a scope of it. In the Bible, in certain lives, but we could use all their lives, but in making application as we think about the very details. Because you have to be on the other side of the hat and look back and see how God shut this down and opened this up and put that in the way and moved that out of the way. And you say, man, that all had to be God. I know that's so in my life. Not only to the point of salvation. But I tell you, as a young Christian, I look back and I saw times of which I certainly would have stumbled and would have fallen. And God's hand, it was almost impossible when I look back. God's hand moved things. You're not looking at somebody that in his own energy has made it thus far. You're looking at somebody that at the very providential hand of God has moved things and changed things and blocked things so that I could even be standing here preaching the Word of God. But isn't that true in all of our lives? Thank God for his providential hand. That unseen hand in the glove of your life, not only saving you, but preserving you and protecting you. Delivering you. Bringing you to this point. I've thought of that of late. A week or so ago, I mentioned this. Man, I can remember I got saved at 14. At 16, I thought it was time to go back to West Virginia and try to win the world back there. And you know how that goes. I got with the same old boys. And I'm going to tell you, I could just feel the energy drawing down. And then the enticements coming my way. And times of which I would have fallen for that enticement in that environment without any Christian, the help of the saints being around. And God shifted it on me. I didn't know that then what he was doing. Now I look back and I say, oh, thank you, God, for your unseen hand. While I mean, actually working in other people's lives, I could see the shifts and the changing around. It would amaze you if I were to tell you about it. But in times of which I would have fallen, but the shift came and the move came. And I look back and here I stand before you pure in all those areas, but not because I was pure at heart. It's because God reached down and said, no, and no. And pushed and shoved. Not on me. It wasn't like he moved me. He moved them. Whoa. I'm glad for the unseen providential. Oh, I was so thrilled when Brother Lester mentioned that providence. Her hat! Now, if we were to go back through the scriptures, there was just, it's everywhere. Those times and places where you realize that the only answer for this is God had a plan and a purpose and did something beyond human understanding. I could go all the way back, but I'd like to just spend a minute, just a second, with Miriam. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon preached on Miriam. Could preach one. I've been studying on Miriam in this matter of providence. But you know what was amazing? How important Miriam was to the story of Moses' life. Not only after she went with them to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness, but I mean in the beginning. How important it was that Moses and Aaron had a sister, that God put a little girl in there, an older sister than both of them. Because when the day came that Moses' mother was pressed by faith to put Moses in that little ark in the Nile River, and I've been there at that place where he's placed in the Nile, Upper Egypt, alligators, crocodiles, whatever. The Bible specifically says she saw her mother do that. She is witnessing all of the emotion and the faith. The words coming out of her mama as she places that little tiny baby in those dangerous waters. And my faith says, God, I trust you to take care of him. She saw that. It was her hat to be there. God had that young lady there to watch him go in. But it was kind of overwhelming to me that the day he was brought out, drawn out, that's what the word Moses means, when the Pharaoh's daughter needed a bath, goes down to the Nile, is taking a bath, and providence has brought that baby through the alligators and treacherous waters down there, and is over there crying. Holy Ghost pinched him. He started crying out. And Pharaoh's daughter heard that and had her maidens bring that child over to her. And she picked him up, had compassion on him. But then the scripture said Miriam saw her draw the boy out. She saw him being put in. She saw him being brought out. She knew everything that had happened that brought that to pass, and she said, I know somebody that will take care of that boy. What I'm simply saying to you is, it was the providential, listen how I word this, it was the providential hand of God that allowed Miriam to see some things that would make a big difference. Had she not seen either one of them, history would be different. What a difference it made in the deliverance of Moses himself, the deliverance of Israel, the deliverance of Miriam. As a matter of fact, what she saw saved you. Because this all points to one thing. All the providential hand of God either points forward to Jesus or points back to Jesus. His hand always will reveal His Son somewhere. Amen. Because that is our life. That is our hope. As He's working in your life, He's working in unseen ways to get you to Christ. It'll make a difference. Because of what she saw. What she saw. Providence let her see some things. Aren't you glad for what God has let you see? Bringing her to that riverbank so she could see some things. Could it be tonight that God has brought you here by providence? A happy experience so you can see some things that's going to be life changing. Going to carry you through the days to come. I thought about Joseph. Oh, if you want to see hands, 20 times the word hands is mentioned in the connection. I think I preached some of that here. On the life of Joseph. Now, it looked like it was man's hands that was handling him. Looks like it was his daddy's hands that loved on him, his brother's hands that hated him. It looked like it was those Ishmaelites was trying to make a buck off from him. It looked like that it was Potiphar's making a slave. It looked like his wicked wife, those wicked hands. It looked like it was Pharaoh's hands. But honey, when it's all said and done, none of it was their hands. It was God's hands working in his life. But I'll tell you something, what you always get out of a hand, whether it's a tender touch, or whether it is a hug, or whether it is a slap, hands have feel to them. That's what you can feel with those hands. Feel that. If somebody wants you to feel, so say, feel that, touch that, see that. So I would summarize it to say, while Miriam, the providential hand of God, allowed Miriam to see some things, it allowed Joseph to feel some things. He had to feel these hands all through those 22 years while he was down there. But I want to say to you that all of those touches, as far as humanity was concerned, on different levels, was nothing less than the hand of God bringing him to the place to where he had to get to Egypt. God was going to do a work in Egypt, but he don't know how to get there. He don't even know where it's at. So what God does is lines up the UPS and U.S. mail. All of those hands were delivering him to the place that he needed to be. Is a providential hand that let him feel. I'll tell you, a lot of things we feel in life we don't like. Some things we are thankful for. But what we have to understand, that a lot of times God in his hand is touching us through the hands of others so that he might bring us to the place that he can make a difference, not only in our lives. You see the major difference in all these characters. I mean, you think of the importance of Joseph's life and all of the... If one of those hands had been left out, it'd have messed the whole thing up. It brought him in providence to where God could make a difference, not only in his life, but in the lives of his brothers and his father and the nation of Israel, and again, all the way to Jesus. None of that was luck or bad fortune. It was providence. The glove, the hand of God in the... Hey, can I say... could it be tonight that God has you here providentially to see some things that will change, but also to feel some things that will change your life? I thought about David. His daddy said, "Boy, you get some cheese and bread and go down and see your brothers down there in the military. Leave the sheep for just a little bit." And so he heads out there with no plan in mind because he doesn't know what's going to happen when he gets down there. He's never seen a giant. Matter of fact, by the way, do you know the only qualifications for killing a giant is you must have never seen one? See how you know? That's the reason why none of them other men killed him. They saw him. That's the reason why the spies, when they came back, 10 of them, chickened out because they saw the giant. Don't get your eyes on this world and on the devil and all that's coming out of Washington. It'll just, destroy you. What you understand is God's hand is working in every bit of that. God's still in charge. David realized that the only thing he knows when he gets out there is he's got a big God. And whoever this guy is, he ain't no match for God. And the king said, but you're just a young man from your youth. He's a man of war. He said, listen, God let me kill a bear and let me kill a lion. And I don't believe you'll have any problem with a giant. Where is he at? Let me at him. And while Israel's in a stalemate and in danger of losing this massive battle that would destroy the nation, here comes a little old boy that God has brought him to this place. And while he allowed Miriam to see some things that made a difference, and he allowed Joseph to feel some things that made a difference, he allowed David to do some things that would make a difference. Amen. Get you a rock, boy, you got a sling, and knock his head off. And what a victory of deliverance. I preached on that last year, I think, on that gift. What a victory of deliverance he brought to. And it not only delivered David and delivered Israel and delivered the soldiers, but honey, it delivered you. Your salvation's wrapped up in the providence. Your salvation, I don't want to make my statement right now, but I was just about to. But I'm here to tell you, your salvation's wrapped up in God's eternal providence that leads us to Christ. I was thinking about Mordecai over there in the book of Esther. The name of God not even mentioned in that book, but God's everywhere. Mordecai's sitting at the king's gate, which means he's a part of the servants of the king. No doubt important out there, not of the hierarchy, but he's there. And he overhears, you know the story, how that two of the chamberlains are going to kill the king. And he lets Esther know, and Esther lets other officials know. And long story short, those two men are beheaded. The king lives. But I'm sure Mordecai might have thought a time or two he'd made a mistake. Because the king exalts this man Haman to the highest position, just under him. Haman hates Mordecai because he won't bow, and he comes to hate the Jews because of Mordecai. He turns the heart of the king, gets him to sign a decree that on a certain day all the Jews of the providence are going to be slain. And of course Mordecai tells Esther about that and wants her to go before the king and plead the case. And she does go before the king, but in the meantime, Haman has went home and told his wife about everything that's happened. He even went to that little gathering with Esther and the king, and she didn't tell him what it was all about, but he got real full of pride about that. He said, man, she even likes me. He goes back, goes home and tells his friends and his wife. They said, well, just build a gallows and go back and tell the king you've got full, and you just have him hung. Built the gallows. Goes back. Meantime, the king goes to bed that night. Can't sleep. What do you think that's all about? Huh? You ain't sleeping tonight, boy. God's providential hand. Said, bring the records in here and read to me. They didn't have TV. Brought the records in there, just randomly reading records. And they read the records and said, well, you know, your two chamberlains that you had beheaded, and this is telling about. You want me to skip over this? No, read that. And this guy reported it, and he said, well, what's been done for the guy that reported it? And they said, well, nothing. Mordecai said, there ain't nothing been done for him. About that time, here comes Haman in. They said, Haman's here. He said, bring him in here. He came in there. Now tell me this is not the providential hand of God changing everything. Providence makes a difference in our lives. And the king said to Haman, what should the king do to a man he desires to honor? And Haman thought it was him. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you could tell, even if none of this had happened, he ought to have killed him because he wanted the crown. He told him, he said, well, put the crown on his head, which is what he said he wanted. And put your robe on him and put a royal ring on his hand and send him out in the king's chariot and get one of your servants in front of him and say, looky, 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 this is the man the king desires to honor. He said, that's a great idea. Go get Mordecai. Put my robe on him, my ring on him, put my crown on him, put him in the royal chair, and you go before him and say, this is the man the king desires to honor. And before it's over with, Haman's hanged on his own gallows, and Israel is delivered, and Mordecai is elevated to second in all the land like Daniel was in his day. But it was all for one reason. He heard some things. Miriam saw some things. Joseph felt some things. David was able to do some things that none of them expected. And here Mordecai is just sitting there and hears. I don't know, maybe the wind was blowing just right. Surely they were in secret. They wouldn't let that be known. What? He caught wind of it. He heard it. A little bird must have told him so. And it is through what he heard that God was able to make the difference. As he was the one who had those slain and the king honored him and changed things. Hey, I'm wondering, wouldn't it be wonderful if God sent you this way tonight to see some things, to feel some things, so that you might do some things and hear some things that'll make a difference in your life and in the lives of others. And on and on. Do I need to go on and on? I mean, on and on and on we could go. Of how God. But you see, what I realize now as I look back is I can see that hand on every level in my life to make a difference in me and make a difference in others that Christ might be magnified. Now with Ruth, we'll notice tomorrow night, he put her in some things, providentially. She didn't know she was going to be in all those places, but God put her there to make a difference. But now, let me just go back to verse number 3 and her hap. Her hap. Boy, I love that, don't you?
Yeah.
When I hear the word luck, I just cringe because I realize that there's no faith in that. There's no God in the word luck. But her hat. Her hat. Now listen to me. The very providence of God, the hand of God working in the glove of her life. Happened right there. Everything God had ever done and ever would do, eternity flowed right through that little place that nobody on earth was conscious of. That anything would ever happen, just another day, another place, another time. Boom, here comes eternity. Because you see, and Brother Lester mentioned this in a different way, but it's the same thing. Your hap doesn't just happen. What you realize once your hap happens, that everything has happened to get you there. Now you go back. Just in her life, you could go all the way back to chapter 1 and see all the haps and the happenings that brought her to this hap. But to realize that it even goes further back than that. I mean, you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 1 and realize that everything that happened from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through happened to get her to her hat. All those happenings had to happen. And to realize that God's letting everything happen, working in all of those happenings with His divine hands, working out His plan and His purposes to get you to your hat. And once you get to your hat and you realize that God, you can see it now, you're aware of it, you embrace it, you're thankful that God has worked in your life, you realize that the hap didn't just happen, it's been happening. Not only in time, but in eternity. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The happening's been happening forever. For one little hap. And that's just one. But then what you realize is that once you see your hap, experience your hap, and you know that God has had a purpose in your life, you not only realize that it's always been happening, you realize it'll never stop happening. Have you read the book of Ruth? Have you read beyond the book of Ruth? 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings? Have you read the Old Testament? Did you get to Matthew chapter number 1? And then go on through to Mark and Luke and John? Did you get over there in Acts? And did you move on over in Paul's epistles and all the way through Peter's and all the way through to Revelation? What you realize is what happened there on that day in her life was a hat that kept happening and happening and happening and happening to bring us all the way from there to there. My hap has brought me all the way from there to there. Because here's what I want to say to you. Is once you see and embrace the workings of God in your life, and here's what I run into and have in the years, the questions I've had for my own life at times, what others, haven't you seen or haven't you been perplexed about things that happened in your past? I've met people that are bitter about events and circumstances that happened in their past. And they're living miserable lives because they can't explain it. They feel like that injustices have been done, and humanly speaking, as in Joseph's life, they were done. But Joseph could rise above that because he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And what I'm simply saying to you here at this present tense, once you realize God is the one, is the author of the hap in your life and the purposes in His hand being worked in your life, once you realize that, it's the answer to everything in your past. You don't have to worry about it anymore. There ain't no more question about it. Because whatever happened there happened because God was bringing you to right here. Amen. Think about that. And as I look back, and I preach here enough to know the drunkenness and without a mother, never a mother in my home, never a mother to hold me, never, I mean all of the, but I'm here to tell you hallelujah. That if I could go back to day one, I wouldn't change a thing. That was God's hand working in my life to bring me to here. And once I realized and sensed God's handiwork in my life, I realized it took all of that to get this. His her hap, your hap, answers all the questions of your past. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Now, it don't straighten everybody out. It don't settle no scores with the Ishmaelites or Potiphar's wife or all that. But you don't want to settle no scores. You just realize that somehow God had his hand in that. But while it is the answer to all your past, it's the promise to all your future. Because you see, that that happened to her, you can trace that thing all the way back to Abraham and the promise that God made to Abraham. Because God made a promise to Abraham concerning the promised land, and that's where she's standing right now. Her hap is happening on a promised lot or piece of land that is there because God gave it. God's hand wrote that out so they could have it. And right here she is in the midst of the promise. So that you don't have to sit around and worry about the past, and you don't have to sit around and worry about the future. If you know God's hand is working now, He's working all the time. If you can embrace that. If you can receive His handwork. It means that yesterday was His handiwork. Today is His handiwork. And tomorrow will be His handiwork. Her hap. Don't that sound so simple? And that's what the world thinks. We are simpletons. Because we just simply believe that Jesus is the answer. Yeah, I do. And because He is the answer, I'm not trying to kill somebody. I'm not trying to choke somebody. I'm not trying to cheat somebody. I'm not at war with everybody. Could you imagine what kind of man Joseph had been if he hadn't realized this is all God's hand? The providential, foreseeing, caring hand of an omnipotent God, according to His purpose and plan, not only for His creation, but for your life and mine. That brings us to where we are right now. So that we can know that every breath we take and every step and every event, there is an unseen hand that's controlling every bit of that. And if you ever realize and yield to His hand, that hap, as I said, will let you be happy and rejoice in the handiwork of God.